This is Matthew Hinsley with Austin Classical Guitar, and you are listening to Austin Artists on KOOP, radio for people, not for profit.
All right, you are tuned to KOOP, your community radio station. This is the show we named after you. We just call it Austin Artists. Today on the show, very honored to have Peter Buat. Peter, hi, how are you today?
Hey, good afternoon, Quentin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we should say our show is pre-recorded. But we had about 3 hours earlier. We were having a good time. Dr. Lawrence Becker was on the show, and you and he had a nice long chat, and I have a lot in common. But we want to hear your story about art therapy. We have a lot to talk about. Can we give folks some framework and some context? You're a veteran, but you also have, you know, art is a huge part of your life since the early age.
Yes.
Tell folks.
I'll tell you kind of a quick chronology. I recognize myself as an artist since the age of five. At the age of actually 17, I received an ROTC scholarship in art.
Nice.
So I got accepted to university. I'm originally from Maine and did not graduate with a degree in art. I was a French linguist instead and served for a number of years active duty. Went into the reserves, went back to New York City for a while, became an art teacher in Harlem. You know, and deployed again while in the reserves multiple times. I've got 8 years overseas and 5 years in combat zones. Retired as a lieutenant army colonel. And then finally, I was pursuing a degree. Typically, a two-year degree takes 2 years. But my most recent art therapy degree took 5 years because of three deployments. Then I retired, and then I arrived at Fort Hood in Texas, just about an hour north here of Austin, and I'm currently an art therapist with active duty soldiers at Fort Hood. So that's where I'm at.
And we really want to dig into the project that you're working on. You're a sculptor.
I am.
Yeah. And we want to hear about the project that you're working on called Spirit of Survival in just a bit. But I kind of want to preface that with some of the work that you do.
Sure.
On a daily week, what is an average? Nothing's average, but your experiences and like some of the clients that you're working with have severe trauma that maybe require another approach. They may have all the medical and medicine approach to things, but there's something that art therapy offers as a valid form of therapy, obviously.
Right. So at our site, it's multimodal. It's a big circle of care where art therapy is just one of the many spokes in the wheel. So, you know, you've got physical therapy, occupational therapy, music therapy, yoga, talk therapy, behavioral health. And I kind of coincide with the behavioral health folks. So it's multimodal. And so it's a really good circle of care for active duty military soldiers. Now, they've been diagnosed with either mild or moderate TBI, traumatic brain injury from typically in a combat zone, although we do take care of some soldiers who have been in car accidents or dare I say fist fights and things like that with blows to the head. So we do take care of that. That's why it's specifically a traumatic brain injury clinic. And so I've been on site there now for about two and a half years and developed a protocol. And in bigger picture, I'm not alone because there are other, there are 10 other sites nationwide on active duty bases, but Air Force, Marine, Army, and even two Navy bases, where there are fellow dance movement therapists, music therapists, and art therapists. So we are nationwide, all the way from D.C. to Alaska, at various sites, as part of the larger circle of care for active duty military. So this is all treatment before ever separating, retiring, medically separating, whatever the case is, before going into the VA. So we're trying to tackle it even sooner than the VA.
Is this, does this have a long history? Or is this like a
right.
new
so
new
this
edition?
Falls, the title of this is called Creative Forces. It's much bigger than I, and it actually falls under the National Endowment of the Arts, the NEA. So Creative Forces has been around for about 5 years or so.
Okay.
And really trying to expand the palette of nonverbal therapies, you know, the dance, the art, and the music on active duty military bases.
And we were speaking earlier about arts advocacy and just how important it is.
Yes.
And the NEA, obviously, funds a lot of amazing programs such as Creative Forces, and it really underscores the importance of the NEA to be funded so they can continue this good work.
Yes, this provides the salaries for for many of my colleagues.
So important. That's another topic another day, but we'll definitely touch that again. And we also want to mention there's a Veteran Arts Festival coming up, Austin Veteran Arts Festival. We're going to talk about that at the end of the show. Let's continue the thread. So without specifics about your clients, like how do they come in there and what work is done? And like you've seen people kind of progress through certain injuries and trauma. With art therapy, can we give folks kind of like a fly on the wall kind of perspective of how that work is done?
So let me consolidate that. You know, there can be short-term treatment, which may last just 3, 4, 5 sessions, and the longest I've gone with one soldier was about 18 months. So there can be a range of shorter to long-term treatment. It really depends on the presentation, you know, what's happening. If there's multiple presentations just beyond the PTSD and the TBI, you know, hyper-anxiety, are they patrolling the house, weapons in the house, is it dangerous, you know?
That's determined. The length of the program is determined by the specialist or the client.
Good question. It's really determined between the patient and myself, and what's presenting itself and what needs to be processed.
I see.
So it's really about processing a lot of this stuff in a nonverbal sense. You know, I could sit there and be a talk therapist, and that's not my strength. It's not my preference, kind of as far as who I am. So that's where. So the first session will just simply set goals. Give you a menu of choices. What would you like to recover from or work on? And then there's no making the first session. So it's also developing trust, establishing just an art portfolio, things like that. And then based on what the goals are, we may do a brain education. We may explore emotions visually. We may, draw a safe place, which is super important. You know, recognizing oneself in a safe place is huge, and that and this goes beyond just combat trauma. It opens up to military sexual assault, sexual trauma. It can be even in the civilian world, natural disasters trauma. There's all kinds of trauma is very a wider field. So I'm just dealing with that specific military. So it's as fluid as water. It really depends on what the presentation is. Each session, or if we want to build upon something that was worked on before, so it's kind of progressive. Sometimes there's regression too, when we maybe need to take a break and just squeeze clay for the whole session, and that's okay too.
Is it kind of the approach is it's everything's okay. It's like you say, it's a safe place.
Absolutely, I would want to meet you, Quentin. You know, at whatever level you're at, and it's not about the ART. It's about TRY. So it's really it's not about a blue ribbon panel, and it's going to be in a competition. It's not going to be on display in a show. It's really about that individual making discoveries for him or herself. And I'm there as a curious witness. Yeah, I'm an art therapist, but I'm also a curious witness to help them see things that they might not notice. And that's where the work is.
So part of your job is kind of recognizing that and kind of drawing those threads out and helping
those
them
threads
navigate
gently. Because oftentimes that's a great metaphor. It's like a spool of thread or a spool of yarn, and just trying to delicately pull those threads apart. And then we can do the deeper work of combat nightmares and processing emotional stuck points, making a memory box for the loss of 1 or 2 or 14 battle buddies who didn't make it back, or creating a mask or a collage. And we as we go deeper into the pool, I will never ask someone to create a piece of artwork that I haven't explored myself. And sometimes there's been sessions when something would arrive, hey, sounds like we need to process this, and I'll do the artwork right alongside them, and I'll do the invitation.
Oh, nice.
So in that moment. So we're both discovering and exploring what is this? How can we tackle this?
What are some of the responsibilities are what's expected of the client. Obviously to participate, but like you mentioned, the
some
sessions, memory box
some sessions there's no participation because they're just suffering from a migraine. Okay, so here and to that point. So Yeah, there have been some sessions where we just close the light and the shades and sit for an hour.
That's fine, too.
Because
yeah.
that's just where they're at.
That's what's needed.
And nothing's going to be produced.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's fine, yeah.
Just having a quiet space is what was needed.
I do that here. I go back in the production studio.
Now, I really want to honor one retired NCO, no names, but he was experiencing what we call a level 8 headache from a scale of 0 to 10. And I asked him, it was the first ever in a session, too. I said, ooh, what would that look like? What would that feel like? Mm. And so I had kind of a mask template and an oval, and he traced that, and he just went there with yellow, orange, and primarily red oil pastels. Mm-hmm. That translated into later future sessions to create a mask, a migraine mask, and it was super powerful. Mm-hmm. It's two combined that are hinged together, and as you open it up, you can see all the medications that it was used to mask the pain and the anger on the outside. And on the inside is a painted rendition of that initial drawing, as well as a disconnected light bulb.
Mm.
So is the light on? No. And it's held together in place very gently with screws, that protrude from the forehead on the outside. So it's just really powerful work.
Yeah.
Description, verbally showing what it looks like and feels like. And it became like an emblematic mask or image to share with others. What's that? And many other fellow soldiers in future sessions see that.
Mm-hmm.
What is he telling us? What's the story behind it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I experienced that too. Many of the works that get left behind inspire others.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, do you see it being kind of creating that mask that you were talking about? Was that kind of like cathartic to the artist? Like it helped him understand his migraines a little better and himself.
Yes. Yeah. And shedding that skin and leaving it behind.
Hmm. So important.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing deep work.
Yeah. This is work that I know that can't be touched with any other discipline. I mean, art therapy really has, it's such a powerful tool. I mean, it goes beyond, the medicine and a lot of the other aspects. I'm not speaking as a clinician. I'm not a doctor or anything. But
it's
just from my
used
perspective.
In part of all of those things. We're looking at the larger picture and the multimodal treatments that can occur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that creativity, it just seems like it's something that instead of being given to the client, it's something they have to bring.
That's right. Instead of ingesting into medication, it's actually kind of externalizing.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference with, yeah, and especially non-verbally.
Yeah, can we progress from there? What else? Like, so that's how many days a week? Is this like 5 days a week?
It's 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I get to relive the combat zone every day in just about every session.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your own decompression routines afterwards?
I make art.
There you go.
And sometimes I'll also revert and go to visit my fellow music therapist down the hallway and strum on a guitar or a happy drum or whatever I need.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Very good.
And I practice yoga as well. So I need to take care of my body and my mind.
Of course.
And be ready and present for my patients. Yeah.
That's so important.
Yep.
Yeah. And speaking of taking a break, we here at Austin Artists are going to take a short break for some important local underwriting announcements. And we'll be right back with art therapy and our conversation with Peter Biewat. Stay tuned. KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby. All right, some good information for you there. You are tuned to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, your community radio station, the show Austin Artists. We now return to our conversation with artist, veteran, art therapist, Peter Biewat.
For my patients,
that's so important.
Yep.
Yeah. We want to talk about your project.
Sure.
Spirit.
The Spirit of Survival, I mean, you've had a moment to go through the book. We can kind of review that and we'll kind of verbalize it.
Mm-hmm.
So Spirit of Survival actually occurred, the concept occurred in my second tour in Iraq in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And, survived both of those tours and all that good stuff. And my question was, I got a week's worth of leave, from the combat zone.
Right.
And I said, heck with it. I'm not going to the States. I'm going to France because I'd studied there for a while, Ecole de Beaux-Arts and all that. And really reflecting, I'm like, how? And it gave me some time to decompress and contextualize.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, how can this combat zone that I'm experiencing and many others, how does this inform, medical history because of what's happening with soldiers surviving, burns, amputation, all on down the line, IEDs?
Mm-hmm.
How can this experience be translated into artwork? How can this relate art historically?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, from a medical a visual, purely artistry, mm-hmm. making
yeah.
perspective, and also art history. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, therapeutic as well for me. Mm-hmm. So how can this go there? And so I arrived at a sculpture project, a four-phase sculpture project called The Spirit of Survival.
Love
it. And so as you've scanned through the book, the first phase is active duty soldiers who have traumatic brain injury and or PTSD. Mm-hmm. And the first phase is simply digital scans, headshots, if you mm-hmm. will, that are printed into three-dimensional sculptures. Mm-hmm. Second phase, and I'm still in the first phase right now. Second phase is to find candidates who are willing to choose their own pose as a sculpture, as a burn survivor, mm-hmm. those who have gone through explosions and IEDs. And that's more probably of torso scans. Mm-hmm. And then the third phase, we're getting next to amputees, those who have survived IEDs and VBIDs and explosions downrange, mm-hmm. anywhere from a single amputation up to, and there are five living quadruple amputees. And I've spoken with two of them, and they've already committed to posing and being a sculpture.
Beautiful.
One of them has already had cadaver arms attached, mm-hmm. And they've been on for about 3 years now. And my proposal to him, I saw a photograph of him doing a pull-up mm-hmm. with those reattached cadaver arms.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So my question is, would you be willing to pose, mm-hmm. and we'll scan you as you're doing a pull-up? Of course, we'll have a base underneath him, so he doesn't have to struggle. Mm-hmm. But so that's the third phase, is amputees, choosing their pose. Mm-hmm. So one of them decided to pose as Atlas on mm-hmm. one leg. One, two guys, each missing a leg, decided to be each other's supporting leg.
Mm.
So, and they chose that one. Another one is a Paralympian. Mm-hmm. He does the shot put and the discus.
I saw, yeah.
And he decided...
Sergeant Scott Winkler?
Yep. Yeah. Well, he decided that he would be the discobolus that we know from Greek times.
He would have to be.
And recreate the discus thrower from Greek times, but in a wheelchair. In a wheelchair.
So powerful.
And that's how he competes.
Mm-hmm. So right there, 3,000 years
Yeah, so... And to your point, I want to compress, if there's something art historically that has a reference or mm-hmm. a pre-existing image that we know, mm-hmm. Then I want to compress that time, that 2,000 or 3,000 yeah. years from before, to today.
Yeah.
Because now we know that discobolus, the disc thrower, has a name
yeah.
and a story. Mm-hmm. And so that's where phase three is going. Mm-hmm. And then, there you go, you're seeing yeah. the image right now of...
Sergeant Brendan Morocco.
He was already on David Letterman. Mm-hmm. I think that was that pre-op? No, it was post-op. He had his arms. He was learning to comb his hair and eat a hamburger and all that stuff.
What classical reference is going to be?
I don't know of any classical reference of a sculpture
there's gotta be
doing a pull-up. Yeah,
there's got to be something there.
But we're going to make a new classic. How's that?
I like it.
There
like
we go.
Already.
And then finally, this was kind of a late arrival. Phase mm-hmm. four mm-hmm. is I've got a dear friend who is an Iraqi expatriate. He's a sculptor, mm-hmm. a professor at NYU. Mm-hmm. And he's already agreed to go with me. We want to go back to Baghdad, Iraq, mm-hmm. at some point in time in the future
right.
together. He'll translate and find maybe a veteran's home
right.
or someplace where veterans are consolidated and scan them as well. So it's almost like goes back to the first three phases. Hmm. Is it a veteran who's got TBI, PTS, an invisible wound, if you will? Is it a burn survivor?
Mm-hmm.
Is it an amputee? And kind of take all those three compilations and then do that with Iraqi veterans. Scan them,
nice.
Bring the scan, give them mm-hmm. some payment or something
yeah.
as posing for the model, and then sculpt those as well. So mm-hmm. because catastrophe,
it affects
yeah,
a lot of people.
War effects of
everyone.
War,
yeah.
PTSD, TBI does not discriminate.
It does not at all. And can you read the title for Phase 4?
Yeah, Phase 4, Iraqi veterans, and the goal there is to highlight the undiscriminating consequences of war.
Hmm. Powerful.
So I can think of nothing better than, coming face to face with our so-called enemy, and actually inviting him to be part of the project.
Yeah.
And this is my project for life.
Yeah, I could see. This is you have a life's worth of work cut out for
well,
you.
Well, yeah, from
addition to all the good work. You've
yeah,
done.
From previous projects I've done in the community, mm-hmm. I've learned that people are the palette.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's not about brushstrokes and choosing mm-hmm. colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding those people.
Yeah.
Much like Dr. Becker,
yeah.
and consolidating them into mm-hmm. with the work,
mm-hmm.
So people are the palate,
yeah,
and they're out there. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal for life.
Definitely.
I'm shedding my skins, you know.
It's good, man.
No
it's
longer a military
about.
Officer,
no,
you know,
yeah,
no longer a high school art teacher. Mm-hmm. I'll complete my art therapy, you mm-hmm. know, role at some point in yeah. time. And I'm just going to make pure art for the rest of my life.
There you go.
That's my trajectory, yeah.
Nice. Can you share your quote you shared earlier about art, people being not so much a work in progress, but you,
oh,
you
there
say,
we are. Yeah.
You say the
so,
whole thing.
So, yeah, so much like the art therapy process, much like this sculpture project, which is in process, mm-hmm. I always challenge people, you know, the patients, the service members, and say, are you a work in progress or a work in process? Mm-hmm. So that's a big difference, a work... Because progress always implies advancing.
And linear.
Not,
it's
linear.
Yeah,
it's straight ahead.
One step in front of the other.
And that's not always the
yeah,
case. Yeah. I would work myself into the corner at some point in time.
Yeah, we fall.
You know, and
we have
keep trying to go
steps.
Go into the corner.
Yeah.
But process implies I can step back. I
reacting,
can turn around. Respond gently.
Respond.
Go
yep.
sideways even.
Mm-hmm.
Sidestep.
Yep.
And take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
So powerful.
So
yeah.
being a work in process, I think, is much more powerful.
I like that.
I
said I'd
thank
borrow that in the future, but I'll definitely credit you for that one.
No
I'm
worries.
All about giving artists the credit.
No worries. It's not trademarked. Go. Put it out in the world.
So the audience, can we touch on
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So, you know, I was reflecting, you know, who could be an audience for this? Certainly just
everyone,
everyone yeah.
yeah.
Any general art, you know, art-going person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also art historians, mm-hmm. military historians.
Military historians.
You know, fellow amputees, mm-hmm. seeing, you know, or fellow burn survivors, or anybody who's, you know, suffered trauma,
mm-hmm.
and seeing them realized as a sculpture,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's really a tribute to those, first of all, the invisible wounds,
yeah.
and then secondary, thirdly, the more visible wounds that we would associate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And acceptance, I think, you know.
Yeah.
There's always this.
We
know,
get to normalize it.
You have to normalize it and really just... People, we're all people. I mean,
yeah.
we're all different. We're all, I always think we all bring our own beauty, no matter what the aesthetics are. We all have our own beauty to
yeah.
us. It doesn't matter if you have limbs missing or if you ever burn. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you are your own person, your own identity. And
yeah.
I think that it's all beautiful in its own way.
It is. And that's yeah. why I decided to call it Spirit of Survival.
Survival, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because frankly, when you're downrange
mm-hmm.
and you're getting blown up,
yeah.
That, you know, it's a bad day at the office. I got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But that's also known as survival day.
Yeah.
The day you survive. Not
yeah.
well, in the moment, yeah, maybe you're the victim, but the
right.
goal after that, immediately after that, is mm-hmm. to continue to grow and be the survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So
be,
that's why
be
it's
a
called
work.
Spirit of Survival. Yeah.
yeah. And be a work in process.
A work in process. Thank you.
And folks can find information at spiritofsurvival.org.
Spiritofsurvival.org. And also, I would also say Facebook. You can do look up, what, search Spirit of Survival on the Facebook. And that's probably mm-hmm. the more updated page. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yep.
Beautiful. We have more time. What else would you like to
oh,
share?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's better.
AvaFest, right?
AvaFest,
we
yeah.
got to cover down on, you know, and,
yeah.
and give praise and honor to the founder of the AvaFest.
Mm-hmm.
So
Glenn Towery,
mm-hmm. the one of the sculptures that's in this first phase, I was invited to be part of a show in the Buffalo Soldier Museum
mm-hmm.
in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where and when I met this wonderful man named Glenn Towery.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Navy retiree.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Vietnam veteran. He's
Suicide Prevention Network.
Yeah. He's my lost art brother, you
yeah,
know, refound brother.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and,
the way I look at all of us. All
yeah.
the guests here.
Yeah.
My hope is like there's, after the show, they collaborate if they didn't know each other ahead
mm-hmm.
of time. And that's always another benefit to the show is like the guests collaborating. But you were already connected and friends.
Somewhat connected.
Yeah.
I'll continue. Yeah,
yes.
Thanks to you, Quentin.
Oh, thanks.
So the AvaFest
mm-hmm.
really is, yeah, it's going to be the first annual Veterans Arts Festival.
Beautiful.
I mean, in Austin.
It's
centered in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's international. I mean,
it's
like
international.
Artists
yeah.
from anywhere in the world can be a part
I
of
mean,
it.
Artists, musicians,
mm-hmm.
spoken word, it's
yeah, all
theater,
arts.
Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a veteran and you served,
mm-hmm.
you can propose your work for
nice.
The AvaFest. So,
how would they do that?
You know what? I think it's on the AvaFest.org
mm-hmm.
website.
Okay, it's AvaFest.org. Yeah,
yeah. I think some deadlines may have already passed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had one as a visual artist,
mm-hmm.
And I think they've collected now about 35 visual artists
mm-hmm.
for this month-long show.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting also, Glenn has, it's not centralized at one site.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, gosh,
nice.
In about
like
a dozen or 20 different venues across the city. So that's really the wonder of it. It's, you know, what a great vision, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, having a map and you kind of do a treasure hunt and see what's where, you know, as well as the multiple events that he'll have, you know, the music and the stand-up and all that good
stuff.
Absolutely. So, have a fest.
Yeah, a lot of work, and but a lot of people also working for it to make it happen. I've cleared off my calendar for the rest of the year to offer second Mondays of the month to veterans in the arts, and I just kind of leave that open-ended to you and Glenn and any of your colleagues to kind of, you know, fill it in with artists as you like. I would like to cover different mediums, and they come in, tell their story, and, you know, part of their story is they're a veteran. So that veteran arts, we can talk about them being a veteran and their arts. So
you got it.
That's second Mondays of the month, and then that's followed by Boots on the Air, which focuses on veterans' issues in the community. So you can look forward to that as well. You have my full support on this end for the veterans and the arts.
Super. Well, yeah, I definitely look forward to having the Spirit of Survival. You know,
that will be at the,
those sculptures
at the,
on display. Probably minus one, because one's in an art competition through the VA, but I'll do the best I can to show what I can. Yeah.
Very nice. So this is in November.
That will actually probably be the first collective time I've shown most of the works and having them consolidated in one place.
Oh, nice. And they have won awards. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's in a series. And the first two pieces have already been out in the world, shown in Chicago at the National Veterans Art Museum. They've shown at two different shows in Colorado at a university, as well as a gallery. Yeah, so the work is really getting out of there. And it's interesting because, due to its own strength, not because of me pushing, I'm receiving invites to show the work, which is always better than me trying to push and try to find venues. So the work is absolutely getting out there.
Nice, nice.
And there's always kind of that double take because they're so photorealistic as digital works.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful concept.
Thank you.
So powerful, so emotive.
I really wanted to have that emotional resonance. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, whether I'm in an art therapeutic session or as a sculptor, I want it to have that emotional resonance.
Yeah, don't have to be a veteran to enjoy it. You just have to be a human being with a pulse, and you could probably connect with it.
Yeah, there we are.
So lots of good work. We have so much to touch on between now and November. I welcome you back anytime.
Super.
If you ever get another day off.
Yeah, it's rare.
when you're in Austin.
Maybe Glenn Tower will invite me. Who knows?
Yeah, and we should mention it also benefits the Veterans
Anti-Suicide Prevention Hotline.
And that's work that he does, I guess, is it in conjunction with AVA Fest, or is it? I mean, it was its own 501c3.
Glenn could probably
we'll
best
Glenn
answer
talk
that
about it. Yeah.
For
but,
you. Yeah.
But this is in addition to the work he's doing to help save lives. That's another topic, another day. I just want to kind of focus on the art, but there's a very serious issue that is being addressed with the arts and through the arts.
Yeah, I mean, well before I became a therapist, I was using art as my own therapy.
Yeah.
I really was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really
I could have gone off the rails.
It's we were talking earlier. I just feel fortunate to have this perspective and to facilitate these conversations because it gives me an insight into just how powerful the arts are. And everyone has their own unique story.
Yeah.
But throughout the history of the show, I've always just seen positive effects from people engaging with art. And it's so... so beautiful to me.
Yeah, to mirror that, I would say, you know, many of the active duty soldiers, service members that I work with, initially, they will only tell me at the end of, like, we've completed 10 sessions or 15 sessions, you know, I really thought art wasn't going to be effective. I was really downplaying it, and then within one or two sessions, I let the process really
speak for itself,
let that arrive and let them arrive at their own conclusions. I'm not here to force it.
Yeah.
And for the most part.
Good results.
That was like the most unexpected positive result I've had.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah, it works. I think, well, it almost seems like the arts, society has kind of been told that like, oh yeah, that it's nice, it's peripheral, the arts. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's budget cuts need to be made, well, you know, that's one of the first things
to go.
Uh, It's such a misconception.
Yeah, it's not about aesthetics. It's about the therapeutic aspect of it right now in my role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the communication. We're talking about nonverbal.
Yeah.
You know, there's many ways to communicate.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I am literally pulling teeth that's 15 years old. Combat nightmares, drawing a migraine for the first time, drawing oneself in a safe place, you know, all on down the line. Yeah. So the arts are really powerful and uncover, you know, things nonverbally.
Yeah. And speaking of nonverbal communication and the power of the arts, what a nice bit of synchronicity, as Dr. Lawrence Becker would say, to have all three of you here today to talk about the work that you do. It's such an honor for me. And joining Dr. Lawrence Becker on the show was Marilyn Dixon, whose daughter, Kimberly Ruth Dixon, is a wonderful artist, has a book, Under the Silence Is Me, How It Feels to Be Nonverbal, a wonderful book of Kimberly's poetry set to images and collage, and just really powerful and emotive. Marilyn read a poem to me before the show, and it absolutely hit you in that spot. And she also shared a couple of poems on the show.
On her birthday. What a nice way to honor her daughter, right? On her birthday.
Yeah, just because you're nonverbal doesn't mean you can't communicate, and that's huge.
No, her poems, she read one to me before the show off the air, and it absolutely just wrecked me. So let's talk about the power of nonverbal communication.
It's powerful.
Yeah, poetry and painting and all this good work you do. I really respect it, and hats off to you, man. I really, really appreciate the good work and continued success with all this, touching people's lives in such a profound and positive way.
Thank you, Quentin.
It's important work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's an honor being here. So
thanks
for the invite.
We're going to be here second Monday of every month. So we got Veterans in the Arts. You get those gears turning. And whenever you're back in town and have a day off, you come join us. And looking forward to AVAFest, Austin Veteran Arts Festival, coming up in November. And your website for the sculptures again?
The Facebook. That's the best one. In search, Spirit of Survival.
Spirit of Survival.
And the most updated ones are there.
Very good. Thank you, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
This is Marilyn Dixon, and I'm representing my daughter, Kimberly Dixon, in her book, Under the Silence Is Me, How It Feels to Be Nonverbal. For more information on her and her book, you can go to her website at www.freepoet85.weebly.com. And you are listening to Austin Artist on KOOP, Solar Powered Radio for the People.
I like it. It's a lot to say, right?
Okay. Here, let me have that.
You get to do this.
Whatever you're comfortable with, yeah.
Hello, my name is Dr. Lawrence A. Becker. I'm producer of two documentary films about art and autism. The first film was With Eyes Wide Open in 1983, featuring Richard Vavro from Edinburgh, Scotland. The second film, just had its world premiere, is Fierce Love and Art. You can find out about these films by going to the website www.fierceloveparents.com. And thank you for listening to Austin Artists on KOOP, Solar Powered Radio. For the people.